Amen. Let me invite you to open in your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The Lord has isolated two verses for us today. We're grateful for them. And we'll begin, if you'll stand with me, by reading these two verses. I'll read them out loud. You can read them in your hearts. Starting in verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter says this: "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Thank you. You may be seated. It's a joy to be back in town, back here at church. We were away for a few days last week to Florida to visit some family, and it just seems more and more true every time we try to go on vacation that when you have four kids and soon to be five in January, that there's no such thing during these days as a restful vacation. I think I come back as tired, if not more exhausted, than when we left. But we had a great time, and I'm always, always grateful to be back. These are exciting days in the life of our little church. Even this morning, as we were talking about the next 5 years of ministry here and how we can all be involved and how we can all provide our input with God's help and His wisdom, these are exciting days. And I think that it is by God's providence that today, as we embark on a five-year plan of planning a strategy for ministry in the next 5 years, I think it's in God's providence that we come upon these two verses that talk specifically about how we as Christians are made adequate and useful for our local church. The way that we have been given gifts, and let's be honest, is there anything better than receiving a gift? Think of how many different times in our lives we are given gifts or we give gifts to someone else. It happens almost all the time. Birthdays and weddings and new homes. And we give gifts when someone receives a promotion. And we give gifts when someone moves and when anniversaries are had. And sometimes we give gifts just to be nice. And I don't know that there's anything better than receiving a gift, except perhaps being able to use that gift for the reason that it was intended. That's what we want to focus on this morning. You may remember Ralphie Parker from A Christmas Story, that movie that's always on 24 hours a day around Christmas time. You may remember that scene where he's been drinking Ovaltine as much as he possibly can so that he can win the decoder ring. And he sends off the decoder ring, and finally it arrives, and he goes into the bathroom and locks himself in there. His family's screaming because other siblings need to use the restroom, and he's sitting there on the commode trying to work out the decoding of the message. And as he writes it down feverishly, moment by moment, waiting for this great secret message, and all of a sudden he realizes. He remembered what that message was. Drink more Ovaltine. And he's so frustrated. He's so disappointed because he received something that was utterly useless. It let him down. When Catherine and I were married, we made the mistake. No one coached us on how to handle the gift registry. When you go to Target or Bed Bath & Beyond or wherever it is, and you get the scanner, and you get to go around and scan all of these items that you would like people to buy for you, no one coached us against do not scan not one crystal bowl. We scanned one, and there was no, if we received one, we received 50 crystals. They're probably still somewhere packed away because they're useless. What are we going to do with these little crystal bowls? Set them out everywhere. You should put candy in one and potpourri in another. It was useless. There's another example for us of how important it is to receive gifts that are useful. Well, this is our focus today. Is that the Lord, in all of His wisdom and all of His sovereignty, has never failed to give a useful gift. And we want to focus on this today in God's providence because of all the discussion that we're having as a church, looking forward to the next 5 years, even looking forward to the next 5 days, of how it is that we can serve together. We have been knit together. We have been brought together, I believe, by God's hand, by His sovereign control. It's no mistake that you're here. And it's important for us to consider these important spiritual gifts. He's given us gift upon gift upon gift. We know that every good thing given and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. And at the top of that list of those good gifts are the spiritual gifts that He gives to every true Christian. And this is what we want to focus on this morning, is how these spiritual gifts are to be used. We certainly can't exhaust the topic in the short time that we have this morning, but perhaps we can do some work with these two gifts, these two verses, to better understand the role of spiritual gifts in our lives. And that's what our focus is for this morning. So we look at verse 10, and we notice that he is going to aim the attention of his readers directly at the receiving and the using of these special gifts. You remember last week, Peter told us last week when Pastor Kevin was preaching from that text that he wanted his readers to be specifically and intentionally focused on love and on hospitality. Here were these two services that they were to have. They were to remain fervent in love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. And he said, be hospitable to one another without complaint. And then comes verse 10. As he begins to talk about spiritual gifts, and we notice something right from the start here that we want to cling to and write down. If we want to rightly understand spiritual gifts, if we want to be good, the way that God intends for us to be good for one another in a local church, we need to understand the importance of these gifts and why they are given. Look at these words in verse 10. As each one, be fervent in your love for one another, be hospitable to one another, as each one has received a special gift. As each Christian, we might be more specific to say that. Because we understand the clear teaching of Scripture from beginning to end is that spiritual gifts are given to those who have faith and trust in Christ alone. The spiritual gifts come by knowing the Spirit of God. By coming to Christ, because he is the only one, he is the name given by which men must be saved. He is the one who brings us to God. He is the one who has paid the penalty for our sins, having lived that perfect life and died on the cross and risen again. That these special gifts have been received by Christians. Of course, Peter's writing to Christians, so that's very clear to us. But we notice that everyone has received a special gift. Perhaps someone's received more than one special gift, but God has gifted his people. And then Peter says this, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. These gifts are given intentionally by God to be used in the church. And the command is to use them for serving others in the church. Of course, there are many gifts that we're given that we take outside of the walls of the congregation of our church, and we use them in our everyday lives. We make use of them in sharing the gospel with others and serving others who are unbelievers. But we want to make no mistake, the ultimate intention of these spiritual gifts is that they would be active and vibrant and growing and used in the assembly, in the congregation of believers. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Serving one another. There is this focus on a congregation of people, this focus on people who are knit together in love, serving each other. Christians serving Christians. Now, the Heidelberg Catechism, which is an immensely helpful tool, that may not sound very exciting, but it can be very exciting. A catechism is simply a list of spiritual questions and answers that can help us better understand what God has said in his word. But we actually have, as a church, have a catechism. You can find that online and use that in your families or in your personal devotions. And ours is based upon the Heidelberg Catechism, an old catechism from the 1500s. And question number 55 speaks to this very thing, this issue of serving one another. This is the question. What do you understand by the communion of the saints? What do you understand it means to be a church? And here's the answer. First, that believers, one and all, as members of the Lord Jesus Christ, are partakers with him in all his treasures and gifts. And second, that each one must feel himself bound to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the advantage and welfare of other members. This is what Peter is talking about. He is talking about the use of spiritual gifts in the church for the benefit and the blessing of the church and for the good of the other Christians who have committed to be together. You know, as well as I know, that it is easy to be filled with thoughts, but it's difficult to be thoughtful. Just because you have lots of thoughts going on in your mind does not mean that you're thoughtful. Because you don't become thoughtful until those thoughts are aimed at someone else in a godly, helpful way, a thoughtful way. Well, spiritual gifts work the same way. It is possible to have spiritual gifts and not use them, not be thoughtful about them, not be someone who employs them, as Peter says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's what we want to see next. That these special gifts, these spiritual gifts, are to be used as stewards, as managers of the manifold grace of God. That simply means the big gift of God's fellowship, of his adoption, of his justifying us and bringing us to Christ by no work of our own, all by his own grace. That now we are managing this grace that he has given us by being stewards of the spiritual gifts he provides. Now, this may ring a bell for you. If you want to turn there, you can. Part of the passage will be on the screen. This is in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 28. This is a helpful passage as we're thinking about spiritual gifts because it reminds us again of the importance of putting these spiritual gifts to use. In the parable of the talents that Jesus tells in Matthew 25, he says this, verse 14, "For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you've entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more. And he says again, "I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank at least. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. There is no mistaking the truth of this parable, that it is immensely important in the eyes of God for his people to use their gifts. Some of us in this room are 1 talent receivers. Some of us are 2 talent Christians. Some of us are 5 talent. We all know that. We see that there are a variety of different people in a church with a variety of different gifts and giftings. Some with what seem to be more, some with what seem to be less. But the point is, it doesn't matter how many there are. Even if you're a 1 talent person, that talent is to be maximized. That talent is to be used. That gift is to be used for the reason that it was intended, for the good of others in the church, so that you are a good steward of the manifold grace of God. And I think if we spent some time together, we could answer the question and probably go on and on answering this question of why is it? Why is it that sometimes we don't make use of the good gifts that God has given us? Why is it that it seems so many churches are underserved where I don't know if it's true or not exactly, but the statistic is thrown out that 20% of the people do 80% of the work in a local church. I don't know if that's true or not, but certainly there's a sense that that's true. Why is it that way? Why does it seem that there are many people who have been gifted who can be used in a local church and yet are not? I listed out just a few. I think one, which we learned from Jesus in this parable, is laziness is one. We're all tempted to be lazy at times, and sometimes we want to sit out for a while and not put to use that good gift that we were given. Some of it at times can be pride, that we feel that we are above certain things in the church, and we're above certain ministries, and we shouldn't have to do that. That's someone else's responsibility. We're a higher pay grade. Maybe that's where we need to be careful if we are 2 or 5 talent Christians, that we don't begin to think too highly of ourselves. I think maybe even sometimes it's something for us as simple as being mindless. that we're not thinking carefully about the needs. We're not on the alert looking for ways that we can serve in our churches. Maybe sometimes it's distraction. We're distracted by business or other things in our lives. Maybe sometimes even we fail to serve and use our spiritual gifts in a local church because we have been offended in some way. And often when we're offended by someone else, we say, fine then. And we shake the dust off our feet and clean our hands of the person or the church. And we say, no more. I'm not going to use my gift here anymore if I'm not appreciated. Maybe that's why. We could quote again the Heidelberg Catechism. This is question 110. What does God forbid in the eighth commandment? God forbids not only such theft and robbery as are punished by the government, but God views as theft also all wicked tricks and devices whereby we seek to get our neighbor's goods, whether by force or by deceit, such as unjust weights, lengths, measures, goods, coins, usury, or by any means forbidden by God. Also all covetousness, and listen to this, the misuse and waste of his gifts. Have you ever thought of that before? That we are all gifted with a special spiritual gift, at least one, that we can use in the local church. And in fact, we are breaking God's command when we don't use it because we are stealing what rightfully belongs in the manifold grace of God to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a striking thought, isn't it? That's something for us to remember. We want to obey God and bring him great glory. We want to be serious about those Ten Commandments, and we do, even though we are very much assured that our salvation is by grace alone. We want to obey the commandments of Scripture all to the glory of God because we're grateful. And here's one way. Here's one way that Peter tells us we are to be glorifying God is for us to be using our gifts wherever we are and looking for ways that we can serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Well, one of the challenges I'm sure that you've recognized when it comes to spiritual gifts is trying to determine what is my spiritual gift? How should I be used? I really have not found it very useful to use spiritual gifts inventories before. It seems that it almost defeats the purpose. Because rather than thinking about how we can be used in a church for the benefit of other people, we often tend to just sort of turn inward when we take those tests, don't we? Those tests mostly ask questions about what we like to do and how we would be fulfilled and how we would be benefited and how we would be encouraged if we could figure out something to do, how we maybe could make an identity for ourselves as having this gift or that gift. And we often lose sight in the midst of those inventories of the real purpose of the gifts. The real purpose of the gift is to be used for the good of others. And not even for the good of ourselves all the time, but predominantly for the good of others as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. And I've really found that to be true. So we had this question. How do I determine how I can be used in a church? It's a big question for us right now in our church at this time as we're looking forward to the coming years. Well, I want to give you three things. These are simple things. These are not earth-shattering secrets of the Bible. These are simple ways, simple things that you can think about. Perhaps you'd write these down. Number one, if you want to know your spiritual gifting and you want to be useful in a local church like ours, number one, you need to do something that Peter said to do already. He said it in the context of defending the faith and sharing the faith and making the most of the gospel among other people. He said, sanctify Christ as the Lord in your hearts. That's the first thing we have to do. If you want to know your spiritual gift, you must sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. That means to set him apart, to make his pleasure your ultimate concern. He is the number one person on your list, and everything is aimed at bringing him glory and honor. Sanctify him as Lord. Sanctify him as the one who will give you wisdom. Sanctify him as the one that you know is the giver of those gifts. That's number one. And number two, prayerfully ask or look for needs in your church. The Lord has a way of opening our eyes at the right time to the right thing. And sometimes that's one of the best ways that we can learn the way that God wants to use us in a church, is for us all collectively, for the good of one another, for the good of our church, for the pleasure of God, to be thinking and looking, where is a need that I could meet? Rather than asking, am I gifted for this? Where is a need that I could meet? And then look for a way with the help of others, under the pastors of the church, to find a way to meet that need. And yet you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at how often you find your place. You find a place to be used, looking to serve others as a good steward of the grace of God, simply asking that question, where is the need and how can I fill it? And then finally just aiming to meet those needs. It's one of the best ways that you can learn this. But I want you to see something else here that's helpful for us as we think about these spiritual gifts. Look at what happens next in verse 11. It's interesting that Peter gives two categories for gifts. He doesn't give an exhaustive list of gifts. Now, we do know that there are other places in Scripture where some gifts are listed, but they are not exhaustive lists, and they're not all identical. They don't all overlap. It's not a repeat of the same directory of gifts. In Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, those are three of the major places where we find certain gifts listed, and you'll find that the only ones that overlap are those that are teaching gifts. They don't all show up in the same list. Now, that tells us something. That tells me, especially when I read verse 11, that it's not nearly as important to know your gift as it is to get busy serving in the way that God opens doors for you in your church. If it was necessary for you to know and have a card in your wallet or purse that said, my spiritual gifts are, and it's stamped by the church to approve you of these gifts, then he would have listed these gifts here. We would have an exhaustive list, and we would have a specific format for finding out what they are. But instead, look at what Peter gives us. He gives us two categories. He says in verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God, and whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Two categories there, speech and service. I think it's a helpful way for us to think about our spiritual gifts. Perhaps you're thinking about ways that you could be used. Perhaps you're thinking about ways that you could serve in our church. Maybe you're wondering what your spiritual gifting is, and you want to find your way. Well, here are two helpful categories. It seems that many of the gifts that we read about in other places in Scripture fall into these two categories. Gifts of speaking and communicating things, and gifts of service. Maybe when you think of speech, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Maybe you're thinking of counseling someone. Our church has a growing counseling ministry. This is a good time for you to be thinking about this, because as we're talking about the 5-year ministry plan that we're working on together, a part of the reason that we're doing this is so that everyone can find a place to be involved, so that everyone can find that place to really put her or his hands to work for the pleasure of God and for the good of our church. And as we're thinking about this, we want to see these different ways. You may think of counseling ministry. Maybe that's something that you think you would like to grow at. It could be used in the church in some way. Perhaps it's teaching a class or volunteering to disciple younger believers or helping with a Sunday morning ministry, speaking or serving, those two categories. Maybe hosting a community group in your home. Our community groups are growing. That's a great need. That's a good way to serve. That's a good service. Perhaps learning to share the gospel and to go out, as we talked to one of our missionaries this morning in ABF. You think of ways that you could serve in a missions capacity in our church. These are all important things for us to think about. But as we think about them, I want you to see in verse 11 how we are to think about them. We are to think about them uniquely in light of who God is and what he does. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Now, we know that this is about intentional conversation. We would not take from this that nothing should come out of your mouth except quoting scripture verses. I don't know how we would order lunch at the restaurant or how we would find directions around town if that's all that we could do were to quote Bible passages. But those are the utterances of God. God has given us his utterances fully and completely right here in the Bible. So when we think about these gifts of speaking or serving, we want to think about what he's revealed to us. Maybe that's a good question for all of us, even outside of the discussion of spiritual gifts. I mean, we could all probably grow some. I know that I could. In thinking more carefully about what I say, about what I type down, about what I send, we could all think about this a little bit more and to think if the instruction I'm giving my friend, is this instruction really what God would utter? Is this really what he said in his word? But not only in speech, notice also in service, God is the focus. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. There it is again. Speaking as though speaking the utterances of God. Serving as though serving by the strength which God supplies. Serving according to the resources that he has given us. Boy, this is a great encouragement to us as we think about spiritual gifts. Because sometimes we can feel all alone. We feel like it's all up to us. I've got to not only figure out my spiritual gift, I also have to find a way to use it, and I also have to find the strength and the resources to do it on my own. But that's not what Peter says. That's not the teaching of the Bible. God does not expect us to do that. Instead, he expects that he will give us everything that we need, whether it's speaking. How many times do we read in Scripture, "Thus says the Lord"? That's always been the pattern of the prophets in the Old Testament, and that's always the pattern in the New Testament. Speaking the utterances of God, or even serving with, by the strength which God supplies. He's going to give us the resources that we need. That's an encouragement to us to look for ways that we can serve, trusting that He is going to help us. But notice this last. As we've thought some together about these spiritual gifts being given for the good of others as a good steward of the manifold grace of God, and we thought about the spiritual gifts in speech and in service as a community of believers together, we really do need a big vision. We need something above and beyond ourselves, which is what Peter gives us, that will drive us along in all of this ministry, that will keep our ministry, that keep the use of our gifts from becoming burdensome. Have you ever felt burnt out before? Sometimes we use that language of being burnt out, either serving in a church, or sometimes we get burnt out at home, or we feel burnt out at work. Well, I wonder why that is, and what would be the solution? I think the solution is right here. I think the solution to all kinds of burnout for Christians, whether it's in the church and using our gifts, and even the solution to finding the resources, having the resources to be used, is right here at the end of verse 11. So that, Mary says it again, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You know what's more exhausting than anything else in this world for a Christian? Living for ourselves. There's nothing more exhausting. That is why we become burnt out. Because we continue to exert without always looking to Christ, without always making use of those resources that He has given us. And this is where we need to return. We need to return to this vision. Notice what Peter says as we come to a close. In all things, so that in all things, God may be glorified. In all things. I was surprised to find that the smallest flower in the world is, Wolfia globosa. The other name for that is water meal or duckweed. It's on the screen there. That is the smallest flowering plant in the world. Look at how many fit on the tip of someone's finger. That little plant, that little blossom, is 1/85th of an inch in diameter. It is 1/190,000th of an ounce. So tiny and small. This was helpful to me to learn about this because it reminded me of how we often feel about our gifts. We often feel that we only have a small gift. If you're a one-talent Christian, one gift seems small to you, seems insignificant. We must have this bigger vision. In order for us to make use of the gift rightly, the way that God intends, and to magnify it and maximize it, we need to know that even if my gift seems to be but one small bud of this duckweed, that it still is to be used for the glory of God. Look at what he says, in all things. It's easy for us to go through a field, drive by a field of giant sunflowers, and look at the glory and the glowing yellow beauty of this field of sunflowers. It's easy for us to look at a sunflower and say, if I could be anything, I want to be a sunflower. I want to be the big, bright, shining blossom standing up in the air in the middle of the field. And I want to be one of many. But it could be that we are only the small blossom, the duckweed. And yet still, that should not be a reason for discouragement. Because we have this verse right before us. So that in all things, whether you are a sunflower in God's wisdom and His gifting, or whether you're just that small little blossom, that whatever it is, we are to find our pleasure, we are to find our joy in magnifying the glory of God by using our gifts in this way. I'm reminded again, I've said it before, it's worth saying again and quoting again, Abraham Kuyper, a great theologian, once said, "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" But you know that Christ passes over with his all-seeing eye and points to every single blossoming, standing tall sunflower and says, "This is mine." And he stands over the highest of mountain peaks and the most glorious of sunsets, and he says, "This is mine." Every time a child is born in the world in a great miracle of birth and life, he says, "This is mine." But let's not forget that over every single blossom of the duckweed. Christ says, this is mine, and it exists all for his glory. This is a great task for us, isn't it? How are we going to live our lives to glorify God in his church? How are we going to use our gifts? Well, I want to bring this all together again just by reminding you of what we said in the beginning, of giving you encouragement and giving you a charge of what you're to be doing, even as we start looking forward as a church and day by day in the church. Now, those three things again, let's remember them together again because they're simple, but they're helpful. We must sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. We must exalt him above all else in our lives, that he is the one we want to please. He is the one we want to love, giving no thought of what we receive in return, giving no thought of how this will pay off for us in the end, because we have been given all so that we can give all to him, so that we can love him and glorify him and worship him here in the church together. And I want to encourage you again, I said it earlier, say it again, to prayerfully look for needs. As you're going through this process with us of writing down different ideas and thoughts of the ways that the gospel could be made paramount in our church and our community over the next 5 years, I want you to be thinking about that. I want you to be thinking, where am I? Where is the need? What need can I fill? How can I be used? And let's talk through that. Let's talk together so that everyone is being used. Pastor Kevin read that passage earlier. It's such a caution for us not to think that because we're just a thumb, or we're just a foot, or just an ear, that we're not needed. But that all of us, sunflowers and duckweeds, all come together. We all come together in the unique way that God has knit us together to magnify his name. We're going to be looking for those, and then we aim together to meet those needs. That's what we're after. This is the simple truth of spiritual gifts. This is how it works. You don't need an inventory. You don't need a certification card stamped by the church that says you have these gifts and you're now free to use them. Instead, we can simply look for needs together in the church, seek to be fervent in love for one another, be hospitable to one another, and then go to work serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, whether we speak or whether we serve, so that in all things God would be glorified through Jesus Christ. Notice the end of the verse, why we're doing this. What is the big reason? Why would we go to so much trouble to talk about this and think about this? Because we know that to him belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. All of the attention, all of the worship, all of the control, all of the reign. There is not a square inch of this world over which Christ does not say, that's mine. That belongs to me. And it's our privilege. Isn't it a privilege? It's a great responsibility. But it is a privilege that we would be brought into that and we would be able to give ourselves to a God like that. To give ourselves to his glory and his dominion. To make him famous. That's really what we want to be about. And so as we continue on today in our worship and as we continue on in the weeks ahead, as we think together as Christians committed to one another, we want to be thinking about these things. How can we give ourselves to this great work that God is doing in our midst? How can we give ourselves to make this gospel known outside, but also how can we give ourselves to make this gospel known even right in here? Because it is our hope. We want to encourage you, as we do every week, that maybe you're here, maybe these things are new for you. Maybe you know that you're not a Christian, that you're not trusting in Christ alone. We really want to encourage you, and we're praying for you that God would show you the glory of Jesus and all that he has done for sinners like us. And we want to encourage you to ask lots of questions, talk with pastors, and share together. And we're praying that you will come to Christ. We're praying that you will turn to him. And, of course, for those of us who are believers, our prayer is that the Lord would give us more, that he would show us more, help us to better understand this good news, and that it would motivate us and change us and grow us and propel us forward as Christians together, serving and speaking all about this good news. Well, let's pray about this. Father, thank you for your ongoing faithfulness, your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your spirit. We are so grateful to have this word laid before us, this truth of scripture. We're thankful that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us because Jesus has done all for us. And we pray that in every way we would make the most of our lives, however much time we have left, that you would help us to find our way together, help us to seek out the needs of one another in our church and even outside of these walls. We pray that you would help us to give ourselves wholeheartedly to making the gospel paramount and to serving and loving one another in a way that pleases you and is good for each other. We also pray in every way, that we would be making you famous everywhere we go. We want to see many people come to know you as Lord and Savior. We want to see many people come in and come to know the joy of using your gifts for the reason they were intended, to love you and serve you and to serve one another. We pray this in Jesus' name.